VSN Arcade Podcast.
Did I ever tell you what the definition of insanity is?
Ah! Minion! Draw the fire with your face!
Not the smartest way to greet the heavily armed group that just kicked in your door.
Head to virtualsportsnetwork.com and sign up for the forums today.
Everybody, welcome to another very special edition of the VSN Arcade Radio Podcast, sponsored by virtualsportsnetwork.com. Sign up for the forums today. This would be those who are returning and those who are new to the podcast. This would be episode number 88, again, of the Virtual Sports Network Arcade Radio Podcast. We have a very special guest with us this evening. So without further ado, I'm host Jay Dizzle. You probably heard of me before. If not, hi, how you doing? Producer man himself, coming back again this week. Mr. Swirly, how are you?
Pretty good.
Cool, cool. And the aforementioned guest himself, VSN denizen and Twitter comedian himself, Mr. Clown Baby. How are you?
Sleepy.
Why are you sleepy?
I get up at 4:30 for work, and it sucks.
I hear that. Okay, well, basically the reason we have Clown Baby here on here today is because as much as everybody would love to hear me and Swirly John on and on and on about video games and what's going on in our lives, we figure we'd have a special guest on here like we have usually on the podcast when we need somebody to fill in the spot, and we like Clown Baby, so that's why he's here. So, there you go. What we like to do here on the podcast is, again, we talk about video games, basically have a special agenda, stuff we played, stuff we picked up, talk a little bit about here and there with the upcoming games, if not recent games, some news. What else are we talking about here? We talk about next week's game releases this week. Two very special titles that you should pick up if you have either system to be able to play them, as well as final thoughts that we have each, an outro, and that's about it. So if you did Video Game Podcast, thank you for listening, and we're going to continue right now. Starting off with, first up on the agenda this evening, games that we've played and pickups. Pickups meaning what you've actually picked up this week to play in the near future, if not today. So since you're the very special guest today, Mr. Clown Baby, I ask of you, what have you been playing recently?
I'm playing a lot of 2K14 on the PS4.
How's that?
I love it. I love that. I've been without my system for probably 2 months, just recently got it back, and I'm excited.
So what's your favorite team on 2K14?
It's got to be the Thunder.
Cool, cool. Are you playing as, a personally picked out team, or are you playing the actual team throughout the season?
I've got one of the fantasy draft teams going, okay, and a separate file for just the Thunder.
Gotcha. Cool, cool. So who's on your creative team?
I got Russell Westbrook, of course. Got to have Nick Collison.
Cool.
And everyone else who's pretty much on the Thunder.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, do you play online, or is it just by yourself?
I've just recently started playing online. I tried out the, I guess they call it the park, where you've got just a bunch of courts out there, and you can go join in, play with all these other people and some basketball, I guess.
So it's like online pickup games?
That's what I was looking for, yep. Yeah. You've got like 20 courts out there, and you just run around and say, hey, I'm next, and then you jump in.
That sounds pretty cool. What else have you been playing recently besides 2K14?
Well, I haven't played it yet, but I picked up the Dragon Ball Z Battle Z game, PS3.
Okay. Is that the new one with the Egyptian cat on the front of it?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into that. I haven't played the others, but I'm excited about that.
So you consider yourself a Dragon Ball Z fan?
Yeah. A little bit. I'm getting back into it. Picking up all the seasons on Blu-ray. doing all that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I found myself going on YouTube to watch the, I know it's like a parody, but the Dragon Ball Z Abridged series they got going on. It's a nice way to catch up on a series and still have a little bit of fun without having to, like, sit through 5 episodes of, you know, somebody powering up a fireball or something, you know?
Yeah, that's why I like the Dragon Ball Z Kai. Mm-hmm. And then they cut out all the filler and just made it action. That's great.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm happy that you're happy about your recent purchase and, you know, that you actually play a video game. Usually we have people who come on that will say, you know, they dig video games, but they don't actually play them, really, unless they are part of a production team or something like that. So it's good to hear that you play games. Chorlos, asking you personally, games you played recently?
Oh, I started the week with a little Thief, which is, you know, it's meh. It's not good. It's not terrible. But it has kind of gone on to the back burner for a week or so because I am currently balls deep in South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Yeah. We'll definitely be going after that a little bit later on in the agenda. But other than The Stick of Truth and a little bit of Thief, have you picked up anything this week?
I'm trying to, now that we're back on a weekly schedule, I'm trying to think if I said these on the last episode or not. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously I picked up South Park this week. I think I did mention them on the last podcast, so I'll skip them. But I also picked, I was in my local mom and pop video game store mm-hmm. this week just looking for random crap. And I came across the 360 version of Alpha Protocol for $3. So, you know.
So now you basically have both copies. One for PlayStation 3, one for Xbox.
I do. You know, I loved it so much, I couldn't turn it down for $3.
So if you see, like, a copy on Steam, you think I'll pick that up, too?
I might.
Oh, jeez. Is there anything else you picked up recently?
I got a coupon for the new Best Buy Gamers Unlocked since they stopped doing the magazine last year and went to the more expensive thing where you get more discounts and whatnot. It's like $90 or something, but those who are in the previous membership get it for like $30, but I never got a coupon. But apparently, recently, like this past week, they started a thing where on the Best Buy forums, you could ask and see if you were eligible, if you didn't get a coupon, and they'll look it up. I was. I got a coupon for $30, bought it. So now I get 20% off all new games and 10% off all used games. So, you know, 2 full-priced brand new games, and this baby will almost be paid off. So,
pretty
good deal.
Cool. Let's see. What have I played recently? Obviously, Spelunky. I beat Olmec the other day. I think I mentioned it before. If I haven't, I beat Olmec. It's like the first official boss of the game. Super hard to get past. I might do a Yama run later, but I'm still not good enough to start getting into hell as far as the game's concerned. Other than that, what else did I play recently? Like yourself, Swirly, I've been playing a little bit of South Park Stick of Truth. Very excellent game. Borderlands 2, got into that a little bit. What else did I pick I played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5 now that I re-picked up the game. So I'm looking forward to doing a couple game nights of that later on. As far as PlayStation 4 games are concerned, I haven't really picked up and played a game on my system for about a week now. I'm looking forward to get back into doing that, but I'd say the most recent game that I played would probably be Strider again. And that is one hell of a game for $15. So, As far as pickups are concerned, again, I picked up South Park Stick of Truth. I was going to pick up some digital games, and I think the one I got for free was, Dead Nation on PlayStation 4 through PlayStation Plus. So I'm looking forward to getting into that again, since I got it for free, technically. That's about it. So, speaking of South Park Stick of Truth, that is the next part of the agenda here. We're going to do, I guess, like an official, unofficial review, or at least as far as we've gotten through the game so far. And Mr. Clown Baby, I know that you don't have the game, but what are your feelings about South Park as a whole?
I used to be into it, and then, I don't know, it just went away from me.
It's not a thing that, you know, you figured to jump back in. It's just, you know, you liked it, and I don't like it that much anymore.
Exactly. I don't know. It's funny. It's just not, I've got too much to watch.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad there or anything. I mean, I've started shows and I haven't picked them back up after like two episodes, so it's really cool. I would say with this game, though, in my personal opinion, that if you've ever watched South Park and were like immediately turned away, or if you watched previous seasons and like got in on the end jokes that have been repeated multiple times throughout the series, this might be the game for you, because this game in particular is chock full of references to previous episodes, previous characters, stuff dating all the way back to, like, the first season. I mean, you can go talk to famous characters in this series, like Jimbo and Ned, and how they were tracking Scuzzlebutt, I believe, in the first or second season. In the game, you can go to Jimbo's shop, and there in the shop itself is a stuffed version of Scuzzlebutt. And they even have Patrick Duffy for a leg sitting in there, which is pretty cool. But other than that, Swirly, I know that you played a little bit more of the game than I have. What are your opinions of it?
Oh my, I can't get enough of it. I mean, usually when I play a game at night, I'll play for probably 3 hours or so, mm-hmm. put it down and unwind before I go to bed. This game, I'm playing like right up until I go to bed, because, you know, I don't care about anything else. I just want to play, go exploring, find some more loot. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't watch the show. You know, I've seen maybe a handful of episodes on the entire run of the show. You know, I get some of the references, you know, because people talk about it all the time on social media. So it's not like all of the references are going straight over my head. But I'm sure there's plenty that I'm missing. But, you know, the game is still so fun. And I mean, I was expecting it going in because it's Obsidian, and I absolutely love that studio. But man, I know we're still early in the year, but so far it's my favorite game of the year.
Wow, that's big talk for a game so far. I can say personally, it's not my top title because we haven't gone through the year, obviously. Early favorite. I would have to say yes, just for the simple fact that, like I said before, if you've ever watched South Park at all, even if it was like early seasons, later seasons, to the most recent seasons and beyond, you'll get the humor of this game. It's just like playing an episode of South Park. The look of the game itself is all computer-generated as far as how they do with the actual cartoon show, but everything looks like it's made out of construction paper, like they used to in the old days. All your favorite characters are in there, like the core four. You got Kenny, Stan, Kyle, Cartman. Butters is in the game. The goth kids are in the game. Is any real character will have a reference to them if they're not merely interactable within the story, which is cool. There's a lot of stuff in there that, I don't want to give away too much, but I would say the game itself, if you watch the commercials, is based off of live action role play. Like, they had three previous episodes before. I think one of them was based off of the recent launch of the PlayStation 4 versus the recent launch of the Xbox One. and how that was all based off of Lord of the Rings type stuff, stuff like Game of Thrones, just old school medieval fantasy type stuff. Very cool. And that's the setting of the game, in quotations, when you are playing as a kid in South Park. Because when you start off in the game itself, to go further with this, you create your own South Park character as a kid. And you're known as the new kid in the game. And basically, as you play and go along, you befriend everybody within the town and become a denizen of South Park yourself. And normally when you play a South Park game, like if you go all the way back to when they had South Park on the Nintendo 64, or if you played Chef's Love Shack, for instance, you get the same humor of South Park itself, but you never were part of the lore. You were never part of the story until now. And now you are in South Park, and you're playing a character within an episode of South Park, which is very cool. What else do you like about the game itself, Swirly?
Well, I mean, first off, when you first get into the game, the character customization, that was pretty cool. Because you can create pretty much anybody you want. And then you'll notice right away that when you get out into the world and you're exploring, there's virtually no HUD on your screen, which just, I mean, it's just another level of immersion. And it's like you're watching the show. I have to say my favorite thing about the game is the loot. There is so much loot, and some of it's hilarious. You know, I'm upgrading weapons all the time, finding new ones, finding new clothes to wear. And, oh man, the loot is probably what drives me the most. Because I want to go fight somebody, I want to get some more loot. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, like you're saying, with the flavor text of the loot, like I said before, everything within the game is a reference to something within the show. So it could be a piece of clothing, or it could be just a piece of junk loot, but there's always a reference to something. Like, you could find Mr. Twig if you want to. He's a piece of loot. You could find Terrence and Phillip action figures as pieces of loot that you could sell. You could do that. I believe the Chinese rice paddy hat that Cartman wore in a few episodes, that's in there as well, and you can use that as part of your costume if you like to. Like you were pretending to before, like you can literally do anything with your character in the game. I mean, you're playing as a kid within South Park, so obviously you're not going to play as an adult character. But you can change the look of your character all the time, other than what you previously had created through the beginning of the character creation screen. You can change hairstyle, wigs. You can change if you want to wear freckles, if you want to wear black eyeliner, or if you want to. I think one of the pickups that I found was like stickers you could put on your face that look like Lucky Charm shapes.
Yeah, I sported those for a little while.
I thought it was crazy. Like, I've always really tried to stick with just, like, the starter eye black paint, because I thought that looked pretty cool. You can get a beard in the game if you want to, too, which I thought was pretty hilarious, considering that you're playing as a fourth-grade kid. So, me running around, it looks like I'm just a midget with a beard hanging out with all these little kids. What else can you do? You can wear glasses if you'd like to. And what's really funny is that with this game, it's really simple to pick up, but you read a lot of reviews online. They'll say, well, this is really simple to pick up. It's really easy to play this game, but they've taken the immersion in this game to a whole nother level if you just based off of the weapon systems alone. Because as you play throughout the game, and depending on what class that you play as, like I myself am playing as like a fighter class, so most of my stuff's based off like melee attacks. So I want to get bigger and better weapons. And I also am allowed to have a ranged weapon. So now you can look for bigger and better swords and bigger and better like bow and arrow stuff. You can also pick up stuff like snowballs to throw at people, basketballs, dodgeballs, which is pretty funny. And also you can alter these weapons in a way like if you're playing a Skyrim or a Final Fantasy game where you find special patches, which is really just like stickers. And again, we're going back to the whole LARP thing that these kids are doing. Where basically, this is all make-believe, but you can put stickers on these weapons, which is really just made out of cardboard tubes, depending. And these weapons will be altered with stuff like frost damage, fire damage. You can cause bleeding damage if you want to, too. And, like, you'll see on the other characters, like, little nicks and cuts.
My favorite upgrade for a weapon was after I went through the school at the I think it was day one,
uh-huh.
And had to fight the hall monitors. I got a weapon mod that was a tuft of a ginger's pubic hair, and it delivered gross damage.
Yeah, I definitely dig the furthermore with the mechanics in the game how you can cause status effects, and like you're saying with the gross out effect, like you literally make other characters sick enough to the point where they'll miss a turn when you're within a battle screen, and they'll just throw up on themselves. Which with the South Park humor, that's hilarious because you'll see just bodily functions going everywhere as you play.
One thing I wish, now that I'm far enough into the game and I see how much customization there is...
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount.
I wish they would have implemented... I mean, since a bunch of the stuff is, like, used with an app, like all your friends and quests and all that, mm-hmm. It's like a Facebook app. I wish they would have implemented some way to take a selfie of your character. Because, I mean, posting these and seeing what everybody's person looks like, would have just been great. I mean, right now my guy's wearing a gnome hat, he's wearing a Santa Claus beard, he's wearing those old 3D glasses that have one blue lens and one red lens, he's wearing a Christmas sweater, and it's absolutely hilarious. I wish they had some type of picture thing to where you can upload it to the internet. That would have been great.
Now, Mr. Clown Baby, after all this stuff that we said about this game, does it sound like an enticement towards maybe picking it up later on?
A little bit, yeah. Normally, I don't buy too many games if I don't know exactly what I'm getting into. Because
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of money for me. But this... I can probably see myself picking this up soon.
Going on your thought there, I myself really didn't think much of this game, considering how many times it was picked up and dropped in development, put on delay multiple times. I mean, literally within South Park, the show, they go over the idea, I think it was like the third... of the trio of episodes based off, like, their fantasy setting they have in the game. Like, at the end, they actually went over the release date of this game, and it was still on delay, and they were just like, oh, it's going to be released whenever. And I think the character Butters was like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And then it released. But a game like this that's been... I think it was originally under contract with THQ before they went under, and then... they had Obsidian jump in to help out, and Sony to help out, and everybody else to do that, and then Ubisoft to help out with the game as well. Like, this game quite literally could have been canceled, and then we would have been stuck with a couple of South Park games that were may or may not have been not so great to bad, and that would have been it. This is like, you could blind buy this game. And if you're a fan of the series, if you're a fan of the humor within this, and if you're not easily offended, because there's a lot of offensive shit in this game.
Yeah,
it could be a good pickup.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty surprised until a couple weeks ago. I wasn't planning on getting this game, and then I saw gameplay online, and I was like, wow, this looks pretty damn good. I think I'm going to pick it up. And, I mean, I was really excited for Thief, been looking forward to that game for a while, it underwhelms quite a bit, and then this game just blows it out of the water. So it's been a pretty interesting couple weeks.
Now, other than going back and basically clicking on every character and everything that you can within the game, I think they had mentioned in previous reviews, the playtime itself, I've heard the numbers of 10 to 12 hours tops, with or without side quests. It might be more depending on if you're playing on like a harder difficulty level. How do you feel about paying $60 for a 10 to 12 hour game?
That doesn't bother me. 10 to 12 is fine. You know, if a game's under 8 hours, that's when I start getting not too happy.
Yeah, you can knock that out on just a Saturday morning.
I'm sitting. My file is sitting at 9.5 hours right now, and you know all I've done on day three is do a side quest.
Yeah, I just got to day three within the game, and I feel like I've done a lot of side quests, and I picked up some stuff. Like they have summons within the game, to where like you can summon Jesus in the game if you like to. The guy that works at City Walk, or Shitty Walk, depending on who you ask, you can ask Mr. Slave to show up too. I think Mr. Hanky as well.
Yeah, I've got Jesus and Mr. Hanky.
Yeah. And you can do little side quests for them. And then you can find and pick up better weapons, better gear as well while you're doing it, like any other action/RPG trope type of game, which is very cool, but within the South Park universe, it makes it that much more better because you recognize these characters. You recognize their motivations, how they act, how they talk, what they're thinking of sometimes. And you just go along with it because it's, again, you're playing as a South Park character within South Park. It's very cool. So I would highly recommend it if, again, you dig this series, or if you're just looking for something that's a little bit different, and go into it with the mindset that this is a South Park game first and an RPG game second, but know that they fulfill certain things within the RPG elements that would help save people who are looking to get into something like that, but maybe not something as hardcore as, let's say, Tactics Ogre or Final Fantasy Tactics or something like that. It's not super hardcore, but it has little touches here and there that make you reminisce about those type of games. Very cool. So, what else is on the agenda? Moving right along, do we want to talk any more about South Park before we move on?
Just off the top of my head, just remembered. I have enjoyed the variety of enemies. I mean, going through a game like this with turn-based battles, if you were just fighting the same enemies over and over, that'd probably get a little boring. But, I mean, I fought kids LARPing as elves. I fought, you know, the Koopa Keep kids. I fought crackheads. I fought Nazi zombies. I fought rats. I fought wolves. Who else have I fought? I fought Al Gore.
Yeah, he's in the game, which is very hilarious that he's still looking for Man-Bear Pig.
I mean, it took me a while to beat him. You know, I tried a lot on day two, and I couldn't get past his Secret Service. And you know, then I got some pretty awesome gear and upgrades. And I day three, that was the first thing I went to try out, and I finally beat him. I beat somebody else, but in case. I don't want to say, because it might spoil some people's fun. So I'll keep the last one to myself. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun with the bunch of different types of enemies. Oh, and aliens.
Of course. So again, if you dig South Park, if you think you would like this game, go pick it up. Know for a fact that when they say it's mature rating for 17 plus or older, they're not fucking around.
Yeah, they're not.
Do not play this in front of your kids. If you don't care, go right ahead. Just know that you're going to scar him for life.
If you're a terrible parent, go ahead.
Yeah. It's nothing mind-altering, but it will fuck with them. Just saying. Move right along here. It turns out that another Arkham game within Batman gaming has been revealed as Batman Arkham Knight has been revealed. And it turns out that Rocksteady was not so much farting around as they were considering releasing another Batman game, which is very awesome because the previous Batman game that was released sucked. So, okay. Mr. Clownbait, I want to ask you, have you played any of the Batman Arkham games at all?
I've played the first two. I've got them.
Oh, Arkham City is such an awesome game.
Yeah, yeah. I've only beaten the first one, and I don't know how far I am into the second one, but I really enjoyed it.
How do you feel about Rocksteady coming back to make another Batman game?
They made the newest one, right? The recent one?
No. They haven't made Origins, but they have made City, and they have made,
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree with it. They're really good games.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty obvious that, you know, while Rocksteady was developing this game, what's it been, 3 years? It'll be almost 3 years since Arkham City. You know, Warner Brothers kind of didn't want to wait that long, so they pushed out another one to fill a little bit of the gap. I enjoyed Origins. It wasn't near my favorite of the series, but I think Rocksteady coming back with the third one will put a nice conclusion to the series. I was a little surprised that it ended up being an Arkham game. I thought they were going to do, you know, another Batman game, but it's going to be something a little different. But you know, I mean, the last time they came out with another Arkham game, they completely blew my mind. I mean, they've upped it every time so far, so I'm beyond excited for this game.
I myself personally dug City and dug Asylum, especially with Asylum being a Batman game that I actually enjoyed playing, because the previous ones that I played beforehand were the Batman and Robin, the animated series video game on Sega Genesis, and before that was Batman Returns, the movie, the video game for the Sega Genesis again. And those games were middling at best. They weren't that great. And then I come in, didn't really know too much about Rocksteady. And then they just make one of the best games I've ever played. You play as Batman, literally playing as Batman, not just some dude stuffed in a Batman suit that happens to have all his gadgets and could do, you know, kung fu moves, but it didn't really feel like Batman. Batman in Arkham Asylum and Batman in Arkham City felt like you were playing as Batman. You were doing stuff within the confines of Gotham City as a living place with all the cast of characters as well as Batman. You got the Joker in there, you got Harley Quinn, you got Poison Ivy, you got Penguin, you got Killer Croc, so on and so forth. Everybody that you know from the Batman mythos is in the game at one point or another. Very cool. Like I said previously before, I myself personally did not like Origins. I played Origins. I felt like it was more of the same, and I'm not putting words in Swirly's mouth, but quoting him, it was an improvement, but it felt like, to me personally, there's a lot of retreads within the series. I definitely dig where they were going with Joker within that game, spoilers. But it just felt like it was very rushed. It wasn't very polished. And at the end, WB had to put something out to fulfill the gap between Asylum and the next official Batman game, which is this. And now that Rocksteady's back, I'm not expecting them to just smooth over everything and just make you forget about Origins and think, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be the greatest Batman game that's ever been released ever. But at the same token, I'm happy, like Mr. Clown Baby, that they're back in charge of making this game. Because if there's anybody that knows how to make these types of games, it's them. So, anybody else got any more thoughts as far as the revealing of Batman Arkham Knight?
I did think it was pretty, I mean, going from City and Origins, I've always kind of thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to drive the Batmobile. And you know what? Now we're going to be able to.
Kind of cool?
Yeah, I was toning it down a lot. I'm pretty fucking excited about it.
Yeah. that trailer made a massive hard on.
Absolutely.
I mean, that looked good.
They're really going to have to retool Gotham as a whole, since now we're out of Arkham City, and now we're going into Gotham City. So they're really going to have to retool city maps, how the roadways are concerned. I know there was a lot of opinions when it came to Origins and how the excuse of how there were no civilians on the street as it's cold outside. So really the only people who are going to be outside are like the worst of the worst and Batman. Because if there's any type of people that are going to be outside in the middle of a blizzard in Gotham at Christmas time, it's going to be Batman and a bunch of criminals. Nobody else. Everybody else is either going to be inside or away on holiday, which is fine. But to have you have the ability to drive in the Batmobile, it's going to take a lot of work, but I trust Rocksteady enough to do it. How do you guys feel about, if you've seen the trailer, how they're going to have another cast of villains go after Batman, again, like they did with Origins, and how basically it was just a instead of a troop of mercenaries, it's literally his rogues gallery is all banding together like some weird Sinister Six type of deal, and they're all coming together to join forces and kill Batman.
Oh, I'm excited about it. I mean, they always seem to surprise you with, you know, some villains that are in the game, so I'm excited to see who all they pull out. Now, yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil the ending of Arkham City, because it's quite the interesting ending, but it'll be fun to see where they go after that ending.
I could definitely say that it's going to be hard to replace certain characters, but I think that knowing how the writing would be and knowing those whose characters would be able to step up to fill that gap, depending, it could go for a good deal. Like you said before, Swirly, this is allegedly supposed to be one of the last games within this type of series before Rocksteady goes off and actually does what they were going to do beforehand. I think they were going to do like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game beforehand. That's not to say that Warner Brothers won't put out another Batman game afterwards. They have the license, they can do whatever they like. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they do with the dynamics of, okay, this is after Arkham City. What do you do after? Do you go with the whole global idea? They kind of touched on that in City. Do you look at it as like a Batman Incorporated type of deal where it's not just, it may be not just Gotham. Maybe it's the whole entire world that you have to say. Maybe they bring in the Justice League. Who knows? They can do anything.
I mean, I don't want them to get scale it too big, but I would love to see, you know, a little cameo by another superhero or something. That would be pretty awesome.
I would assume like they're not going to be like, okay, well, Superman shows up, because if Superman shows up, this immediately blows it up to universe scale, which I don't think Rocksteady is ready to handle yet, if at all. No offense to them.
I'm kind of hoping for Green Arrow. Because, I mean, in Origins, there was a little Easter egg for him when you were going through, I think it was the ship where Penguin was hiding. There were containers that said Queen Industries. So, I mean, that would be my pick for a cameo, but who knows? Who knows if we'll even get one?
Do something. Do you have any more thoughts on this, Mr. Clown Baby?
I don't. I'm excited. That teaser trailer was pretty great. That's all I got.
Okay. Let's move right along then. We have a couple bits here on news. Swirly, you have here stuff about the PlayStation 4 sales. What specifically are we going to talk about when it comes to PlayStation 4 sales?
Well, the PS4 has sold a shit ton of units. If you couldn't already tell, if you're trying to buy one, and you can't seem to find them anywhere, there's a reason for that. They have sold over 6 million units, which is, you know, their projections were, I think, 6 million by the end of their fiscal year, and that's still a month away. So, I mean, they are killing it. And they haven't even launched their main game yet, which doesn't come out until the end of the month, which, you know, will sell quite a bit of units, because, I mean, hell, there's at least a few people on VSN who are waiting for Infamous until they get their PS4, so.
Yeah, I definitely find it odd that there's a lot of talk about, again, with the whole console war thing about, okay, well, PlayStation 4 versus Xbox One, one system's better than the other. And then you look at, if you look purely on sales, like you're saying before, it's really super fucking hard to find a PlayStation 4. Like, I myself, I picked it up around Black Friday last year. It took a long time before I was able to pick up the game, or pick up the system. When I did, I didn't realize that, you know, this was going to be, one of the most popular console sales type, one of the most popular consoles to ever be sold.
Yeah, I mean,
within the modern era.
I'm usually in GameStop and Best Buy once a week, and I haven't seen one in a long time.
Yeah. Like, there's a consistent push about, please buy an Xbox One. Xbox One is a completely open and honest, great system, despite its bugs.
I mean, their sales, even though their sales are quite a bit behind, that console's still selling pretty well in comparison to other launches. So, yeah. I mean, it just goes to show how ridiculous the PS4 numbers are.
I mean, next week, like, you're talking about how Infamous Second Son, like, that is one of the primary games that is going to be a system seller for PlayStation 4. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, but I'll just bring up that Titanfall is dropping the 11th. That is going to be a system seller for Xbox One. I don't know if it'll bring it all the way up to 6 million total systems sold, but it still should help sell that system. But just off the knowledge of up-res games like Assassin's Creed 4, like Call of Duty Ghosts, like Madden, so on and so forth, there are a lot of things helping to sell PlayStation 4. And I can only assume that, you know, since the launch within Japan, I mean, the sales numbers that I've been reading as far as the Japan launch haven't been, you know, as great as North American and European launches for PlayStation. Still pretty decent. Not great, but decent. I mean, it's not going to, you know, match handheld sales by a long shot, but they might get there. I don't know. Who knows? I definitely am happy for Sony to hear that they're making money hand over fist over this thing. And here's to a continued awesome future. Mr. Clown Baby, how do you feel about PlayStation 4 selling a shit ton? Because I know you just picked up a system, right?
Well, I picked one up on launch day, but it took a shit on me. Yeah, I think it's great. Like you guys, I've seen one in a store, and that was 2 weeks ago, and it's crazy to me how quickly those things sell out. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you said that your system previously, I mean, launch day took a shit on you.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of... Oh, go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah. I had the HDMI issue with it where it would power on, but it wouldn't show up on the screen, so...
But you definitely were able to get your system replaced pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. I called them on day 89 of the 90-day warranty and got it replaced.
Nice.
That's procrastination at its finest.
Definitely. How do you dig your now working system though?
I love it. I love the thing. I tried the Twitch streaming for the first time last weekend, and I loved it. I wish you could record it and save it, your stream, but other than that, it's great. Can't get enough of it.
Now, despite the talk about how PlayStation 4 is making a shit ton of money, one of the bigger names that are behind the success of this newer system is officially leaving the SCEA, Sony Computer Entertainment. What's the A stand for, Swirly?
America.
Of America. There you go. That name is Jack Trent. And basically, when E3 dropped... this past year, Trent was like the face of you need to buy the PlayStation 4, and these are why. He dropped all these bullet points, and basically he was made to look like the hero when, before all the big changes for the Xbox One had occurred, and how they were like, you'd play used games, you couldn't do this and do that. Trent was the man behind the whole, well, our new system does all that. And you have all these awesome things that you could do with it, and everybody just went to a huge fervor to the point where now you can't find a PlayStation 4 rarely, if at all. Like, you'd have to go on Amazon and have to spend shit tons of money that normal people can't even afford to use to buy the system if you really want it. And now it looks like Mr. Trent is just... he's leaving. Official statements have said that he's officially gone from the company... I believe the 31st of this month, being March, and he's being replaced by Mr. Sean Layden after Mr. Trent has been working for 19 years within Sony Entertainment community. And basically, Layden is no slouch. I mean, he's been with Sony for about 15 years, working internationally with multiple companies and sources. And basically, all Layden has to do is not, you know, do anything dumb. Basically go with the game plan, work with indie developers consistently now, and basically, you know, keep PlayStation Plus to where it's at, and just put out quality games. And don't fall back into the whole idea about how previously when PlayStation 2 was making a shit ton of money, and then Sony, within their hubris, decided that they were going to charge obscene amounts of money for the original PlayStation 3s, and how they thought they could just, you know, I'm not going to take it away with it, but, you know, if you're a Sony fan, you're going to purchase it for $600+, depending where you live at, and a lot of people weren't having that shit. So a lot of people were afraid that Mr. Layden might be a cause to maybe do this again with the PlayStation 4, but probably not likely. So... Swirly, how do you feel about Jack Trent leaving Sony?
I'm sad. I love Jack. I mean, every big conference that comes and goes, especially E3, he's always the guy that's out there as the face of Sony. And, I mean, he's just got a stage presence that's so much better than pretty much anybody else you'll see at these gaming conventions. And, I mean, he just does. He speaks to the crowd so well. And, I mean, he's a fantastic guy to listen to, and I'm gonna be sad when, you know, the Sony presser comes this E3 in June and he's not there. It's gonna make me a little teary eyed.
Yeah, I can definitely say seeing him through E3 and ads within that whole pre PlayStation 4 launch window trend seemed like, and still is, a very charismatic figure. Like whenever he spoke out to the crowd at E3, you knew that all his bullet points that he was touching on, like, everybody was eating that stuff up. It wasn't him struggling to read a cue card. It wasn't him having to pretend to be something that he wasn't. He was naturally, you know, hey guys, here's the new PlayStation 4. We're doing all these things. We want to help you, the gamer, out. Very awesome. It wasn't cold. It wasn't calculating. It wasn't, if you pay X amount of money, this is what you're getting. It really spoke to a lot of people. And like you, Swirly, I'm kind of sad that he's gone. But I know that he wouldn't give the reins to Sean Layden if he didn't think that the guy couldn't do it. So I'm happy that Trent can cash in his chips and walk out into the sunset. Maybe a little later on, he might come back. Who knows? Maybe he'll run his own thing afterwards. So, wherever he goes, happy trails, Mr. Trenton. Thanks. Mr. Clown Baby, how do you feel about Trenton leaving?
Oh, sorry, just got back.
Okay.
Yeah, wrong person to ask on this. I don't know much.
Okay, think about it this way. Let's say Dave Thomas is still kicking around. He's still pimping Wendy's, right? And then all of a sudden he says, Wendy's is in a good place. I'm going to leave as the face of the company, as the public face. I'm going to leave.
If
I'm going to let
Redhead's girl, then I'm upset.
Yeah.
But if it's in capable hands, then, well, all right.
Okay.
I think they just need to get Kevin Butler back for E3. Now that Trenton's not going to be there.
Butler's an actor, though.
Yeah, but he's still awesome.
Yeah, he's still awesome, but they fired him because basically he worked on a Firestone commercial. I believe it was Firestone, Bridgestone. Using a Wii. He was using a competitor's peripheral. You can't do that if he's trying to be the face of Sony, if not the fake face of Sony. You can't do that. Like I said, he lost his job, but you can't just come crawling back.
I want him back. I'll be standing here with arms open to give him a big hug.
Okay. If you have nothing else to say about the departure of Trenton, let's move on to talk about Uncharted 4. Now, the first bullet point here talks about that there's alleged secrets when it comes to Uncharted 4. What's that about?
Well, it was kind of interesting when Naughty Dog released the making of videos for The Last of Us and the Left Behind DLC. They put them up for free. And then one of the Naughty Dog guys was just on the Sony blog, and he's like, yeah, we've got secrets out there that I'm surprised that nobody's found yet. And everybody's like, whoa, what? So, yeah, I mean, nobody's, even with the extra looking lately, nobody's still found anything, so that's interesting.
Okay. I haven't really looked into, like, secrets as far as Uncharted 4 is concerned. I haven't watched any videos. I know the game's coming out. I know they have a semi-famous character actor that's coming in to do voice work, and he's already doing his mocap suit work. I still have no idea if Nolan North's going to be in the game. May or may not be. Who knows?
I will cry if we don't have Nathan Drake.
Yeah, if Drake's not in the game, don't pick it up. Just saying.
I'll still pick it up. I'll still be there day one at midnight, but I'll still be sad.
I'll just treat Uncharted 3 as the whole series walking out to the sunset, and Uncharted 4 is them coming back to a series that's done, in my opinion. if Drake's not in the game. If he is, cool. Nolan North's in the game, voicing Drake again. Cool. Haven't seen him in a while. Happy he's got more work. Speaking of that, though, when it comes to working on Uncharted 4, there has been a recent release of a person. Swirly, do you want to take it from here?
Yeah, one of the faces of Naughty Dog in the Uncharted franchise, Amy Hennig, has left the studio as of Monday. And she's been a creative person and writer on the series since day one. And is kind of, I mean, this news dropped pretty late at night on Tuesday. And it was pretty shocking. I mean, we're in the middle of development on the next game, and to see that, you're just like, whoa. And the early rumors were that the two heads for by now most people know that there's kind of two teams at Naughty Dog. One did Uncharted 2 and The Last of Us, the other did Uncharted 3 and now Uncharted 4. And the two guys that kind of head up that Last of Us team were rumored to have pushed her out. But the company presidents and Sony have, you know, they've said that's just flat out not true. There hasn't really been a reason why. But, you know, what can you do? They said... Naughty Dog said that the development will not be affected by this, so it was pretty shocking to hear, but, you know, there are so many great minds at that studio, I don't doubt that they can still put out an awesome product.
I found it very weird to hear that she was leaving. Now, I understand that within game development, within gaming studios, people come and go. That's how the business works. You finish a game, and then you go on, and you get hired on to other jobs. You're not consistently working on a game unless you're left behind to work on DLC afterwards. But to have a big name behind this series, especially Amy Hennig, and she's been around since the series has been around. To have her leave all of a sudden without any real reason other than hopefully she felt like she could move on and do bigger and better projects and was not quote-unquote forced out. I mean, the official statement that's on Naughty Dog's website mentions that, like, the two people that you're talking about that were working on The Last of Us, Bruce Straley and Neil Druckmann, allegedly had forced her out. Now, this was through an anonymous report that was erroneous reported by IGN. Now, within this statement, it sounded like Naughty Dog was obviously pissed. They didn't want this to make it seem like, you know, Hennig was just forced out because she didn't believe what was going on, or that these two guys were just, we don't like you anymore, go away. It's completely not what happened, allegedly. I would have to assume that knowing what I know of Naughty Dog and from seeing previous videos and stuff, I mean, obviously you can get agitated working with other people, but not to the point that, you know, you would unprofessionally just force somebody out like that. Like, it never seemed like these people hated each other. You can get annoyed. Not enough to, like, just, you know, go and give me your job and get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, somebody that's been with the developer or the studio that long, I really don't think that ended up being the case. I mean, she's been there for a long time, so, I mean, I don't believe that she was just forced out by some other people. I don't buy it.
I mean, she was working in this industry for more than 25 years. It's a long ass time. I mean, you can make some enemies within 25 years of time, but more than likely you made a lot of friends as you go along. I mean, previously she worked on the Legacy of Kain series and Crystal Dynamics. She was confirmed to be working on Uncharted 4, obviously, and she served as the director on the previous Uncharted titles. I don't think she worked on the Vita game, but she worked on like all the mainline titles, 1 through 3. And it's sad to see her go. I personally wish her luck, like I wish Trent luck, professionally and personally. And I don't know, it just feels... Because in my opinion, like, seeing a story like that, it always sounds worse than it actually is, unless there's a report that says it is worse than it actually is. Because a lot of times, a lot of studios, like, you previously said that you worked on, or that you have been playing Thief before, and a lot of rumors behind that game were, this is not my, a lot of the people that worked on this game were like, this is not my original version of the game, and we're very happy that this game is out, but we're very lucky that this came out. Because this game is a lot worse than it should have been. I would have to assume when it comes to Uncharted 4, a lot of differing minds converged in one area and it caused her to leave. And that sucks. So, I don't know. I hope it doesn't turn into another Thief situation. Knowing Naughty Dog, they wouldn't have Uncharted 4 turn into a huge steaming pile of shit. So, I don't know. Now, we talked previously off-cast, Mr. Clown Baby, how you just recently picked up Uncharted 1, 2, 3, right?
Yes, sir.
You haven't played these games before, right?
Not one bit.
I would tell you personally that those three games are going to be really ridiculously awesome to play, no matter what, Uncharted 2 being my favorite of the series. I would say that... those games probably have been the best of Mrs. Henning's catalog of games. So to hear that a person that was working on those games that are going to be, I hope, awesome for you, to hear that she's no longer working for that company, how does that make you feel? That to have one of the biggest minds behind those games is now just gone and she won't even work on the next one that may not be one that you'll be picking up.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, without having played them yet, that's going to be tough for me to say, but I know that the games are, you know, universally loved.
Yeah.
So, I mean, losing, you know, a key piece to that, that's going to be tough. You know, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but I think if they've already established, you know, what they have, what they've done, it's going to be hard to move away from that.
If you don't mind me asking, what made you personally want to pick up the Uncharted series?
It was just something I felt I had to do, having a PS3 and not having those games. Normally, I don't vary my game purchases. I stick to what I've gotten for the past 10 years, but I figured I'd jump outside the box, grab them, see what it's about.
I'm
so you feel obligated to play the games?
Yeah. And I also picked up the Infamous games also, so I could get ready for the new one.
Oh, you are just knee deep in awesomeness.
I've got a pretty big backlog right there. I'm ready for it.
Oh, I can say on my behalf and probably on Swirly's behalf that we're very happy you picked up those games and hope that, you know, you dig them.
Yeah.
Next time you come on a podcast, you'll be able to tell us a little bit more about your experiences.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I started the first Infamous, and I got probably an hour and a half into it, and I'm digging it so far.
Cool.
Trying to knock them out before Second Son comes out.
I would say personally, I'm not saying you have to start on Infamous 2. That game's going to feel a lot faster than the first game. But you might get more you might get more out of the original Infamous as far as like collectibles and stuff. Story wise, I think it's a little bit longer than the second game, but it's just it feels a little bit bigger in my opinion. So, you see, game more of the game. Let's move along though. Swelly says that there are more streaming details when it comes to the Xbox One Twitch application. What's that about, Swelly?
Well, it's coming next week alongside the launch of Titanfall. Mm-hmm. And Major Nelson has been demoing the streaming capabilities over the past few days and providing some details. It will be a little bit deeper than what Sony has on the PS4 right now. You will be able to adjust your settings a little bit. So if you have a great internet connection, you know, your Xbox One will let you pick a setting that accommodates that, and you'll get a little bit better looking stream. If you have, you know, borderline kind of bottom connection for streaming capabilities, you know, you can also get that, so you can get the most out of your streaming quality. And kind of a big thing that Sony has not rolled out yet is the Xbox One will allow you to archive your streams on Twitch, which will be pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm not happy when it comes to being able to archive your Twitch streams automatically through the Xbox console versus having on PlayStation 4, where the, like Clown Baby said before, you can't do that yet. That sucks. So
yeah, I'm waiting for it. I know they've said that they're working on it, but I wish they'd get that to us.
Yeah, that would be a very, very cool thing to have. I'm jealous of the Xbox One for that.
It's going to be interesting seeing Titanfall being broadcasted live through multiple sources, and then having people, like previous renditions of Call of Duty, I think the original Blobs had Twitch capability to where you could broadcast your games and be able to archive those games for other people to watch later on. That's going to be the same thing with Titanfall, and it's going to be ridiculous. And I'm happy for a lot of Xbox One owners, because now they're going to be able to realize that feeling again. And if they haven't realized that feeling beforehand, they're going to have a hell of a time now. So, cool.
All I have for Xbox One is Forza 5, so I'll have to pick something up to stream from that console.
Showcase some Rise.
You know, I want that. I want to play that game, but you know, I kind of want to find it cheap since it's fairly short.
Is there any other tech demos that you like to play, Swirly?
I just, you know, Dead Rising 3 seems to be a better bang for your buck, but you know, I did not enjoy Dead Rising 2. So I don't know, I'm not real inclined to pick that one up. But if I can find Rise for under $30, I will pick that up to be able to stream it.
I would say if the digital selection on the Xbox One, I haven't heard too much about it, but if it was set up like how Sony's is set up, where basically, I mean, what are they running now? Like I said previously before, Dead Nation's now on PlayStation 4. They just had Awesome Knots put out as well. Thomas Was Alone, I think, is coming on there. Numerous games, digitally. If they could get something like that going for Xbox One, and with Twitch being involved, that's a big library of games to play online to be able to showcase and stream and be able to archive. So, who knows? What else? It says here that Watch Dogs officially got a release date. What date would that be, Swirly?
May 27th. You know, it's been rumored for a while that it would be June, and then, you know, they come out May 27th, and, you know, I think it's a pretty good time There doesn't seem to be a whole lot. You get a couple weeks until you get the Elder Scrolls Online on consoles. And then sometime in June, we'll get... Bungie's game?
Destiny?
Yeah, the Destiny beta. But I think it's a pretty good time frame. I always enjoy the games that choose to go on that that May release date, because you know it's usually a time that you don't have a lot of stuff coming out. You're getting into the bare months of the summer, so I mean you had The Last of Us last year, you had Max Payne 3 the year before that, so I think it's a good decision.
Yeah, I mean other than the Wii U, which sucks that it's still in development and it doesn't have a definitive release date. It sounds like Watch Dogs is going to be another title where even if it is released on the Wii U, it's not going to be the best version of the game. If it is released at all. And that sucks because it's one of the games that was showcased 3-3 last year as being one of the tentpole games for that system. Other than that, it's going to be released for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and if you're still running a 360 or a PS3, that's going to be on there as well. Multiple sources, you can play it wherever, whenever. Except for, I think, like, digital iOS, but maybe they'll have some app for that later on. I'm personally happy that it has a release date, because I think, what was it? It was originally slated to come out 2 weeks after Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, they had ads set up, like, spent 2 weeks in San Andreas or Los Santos and then come to Chicago. And now here we are, May 27th. Hopefully it comes out and it's not a buggy piece of shit. But who knows? Clown Baby, how do you feel about the release date of Watch Dogs? You digging the game? Or is another one of those where you have to wait and see?
Yeah, it's another one I have to wait and see. I don't know too much about it. I should probably definitely look into it, but
okay. Have you seen the movie Hackers?
No, I have not.
Okay. Have you played the Tom Clancy games?
I played one when I was probably 12, so no.
Okay.
To what I know in games, I don't venture out much. I'm just now starting to grow up a little bit.
Okay. Have you seen any commercials for Watch Dogs at all, or no?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
Are they...
I can tell you personally for what I've seen. Think about it this way. Say you're Chicago, right? Sometime in the near future. And the whole idea of... you can electronically hack whatever you'd like. You can hack water and sewer systems. You can hack lighting. You can hack people's personal phones, computers, the giant monitors that are on the side of skyscrapers that show advertisements. You can hack that as well as your personal character. And basically you play as like a Sam Fisher type of character, but as a vigilante. You play by your own rules, like you would with Infamous, but instead of having superpowers of being able to electrocute things, glide in flight, throw electricity grenades, you basically use your own Palm Pilot to hack into anything that you'd like. You can call the cops on people, you can get other people's personal information to use against them, you can track down criminals, serial killers, whatever you like. And how about the police doing that? Like, you're basically like a superhero with an iPhone that can't fly. And you have a gun, too, which is neat, I guess, if you do that type of stuff. Also, you could drive cars in a game like GTA. And if you allow yourself to play online with other people, you yourself will be playing as the main character in the game, but other people online can grief you like they can in a game like Dark Souls, so where they can actively participate against you while you're playing the game. Now, if you can imagine while you're streaming, other people are watching online, and perhaps one of those people will try to grief you as you play.
Yeah.
So, does that sound interesting to you?
It does. I'm going to have to look more into it. Yeah.
Okay. I would definitely say look up videos online on YouTube. I think the game has been worked on since 2012, if not beforehand. There's a lot behind the game. There's a lot to check out. There are some connections, if you're familiar with the Assassin's Creed series, to that series nowadays. It's starting to sound pretty decent. I don't know if it will be able to match up with an Infamous or Destiny or Titanfall as far as game series is concerned. Like, it should have been released way, way beforehand, before the summer months, like it was supposed to, but I guess it got caught up in the bugs, and they just had to scrap a lot of shit and try to come back with something better. Here's hoping that they do. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to get a better look at it and decide maybe pick up the game. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. Added to my list. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Okay. You put it on your backlog, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to keep mine as small as possible, not be like Twig.
Oh, jeez. He who should not be named.
Yeah.
I just buy shit whenever I see it. My backlog's ridiculous.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for Watch Dogs because, again, it was supposed to be released way, way before now. And now it's going up against some of the bigger summer releases. Like, Titanfall is going to crush everybody when it comes out. And to know that a game like Destiny is not coming out till next fall, I believe, but the beta is going to be swamped. Like, everybody's going to be playing that beta, like they were with the Titanfall beta was happening. So, here's the Watch Dogs. I'll try to pick it up. I might wait a little while before picking it up to see if the price will go down, but it should be more than a capable game. So, and sorry for all you Wii U owners that are looking for a new game to play that's not Mario-based. Might have to wait a little while.
It's alright, I wasn't going to buy it for my Wii U anyways.
Didn't you get that for free from work?
Not from work, from a contest.
There you go.
Well, not really a contest, just a drawing for loyal customers.
So basically, you got out of a garbage dumpster. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I do love the console, though.
Cool. Speaking of new things, let's move right along on to next week's game releases. Again, previously we mentioned that Titanfall is coming out March 11th. If you don't like giant robot gunfights, there is also the upcoming Dark Souls 2. That's also dropping March 11th. Now, if you're able to have the capability to pick up both games, fucking do it. If you can't, and you have to decide, again, if you like giant robot fights, cool. If you like Demon's Souls, if you like Dark Souls, you're probably going to like Dark Souls 2. I've heard a lot of great things about both titles. So, Dark Souls 2, I believe, is coming out for PlayStation 3. Only for right now, there's going to be a PC version later on down the road.
And 360.
Yeah, and 360.
PC will be in April.
Yeah. I've heard some transcripts about how the people who are working on the PC version have said that they're not going to make the same mistake as they did when they ported, I believe it was Demon's Souls to PC. Like, they're going to make it like, this is an awesome game to play on PC. It's not just the jacked up port that you have to mess around with to make it work. So, I'm all in. Titanfall, there's not a lot that you can't say about the game that hasn't been said already. It's ridiculous. It plays like COD with robots. A lot of people don't dig the feeding system when it comes to bots within the game since it's 6-on-6, but it makes the game interesting enough to where if you're really bad at shooters, like Twitch shooters, you still have a fighting chance. I don't know. And giant robots are always awesome. So, if you have an Xbox One, pick up Titanfall. Or if you're looking to maybe purchase a next-gen console, and you want to decide between a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and you want to pick up one to play with all your friends, more likely to have Titanfall on your mind, go ahead and pick that up, too. So, enough of my babbling on. What do you guys think about these two titles?
You know, it's a pretty stacked week for gaming. I personally will not be purchasing either on day one Titanfall. Everybody on the planet wants it, it seems. I played the beta. It doesn't, like I mentioned before on a previous podcast, it just doesn't tickle my fancy. I can see why everybody likes it, though. So I'm excited to see what everybody says next week. Dark Souls 2 is definitely a game that I will pick up at some point. Just March is just so filled that I won't. There's no use in me picking up now because it'll probably just end up in the backlog anyways. So I might as well wait until it's on sale.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I'll probably wait for it to drop before I look into it.
Oh, what are your opinions on either game?
This Dark Souls 2 looks like it's going to be something pretty that I'm going to be into. Again, I haven't played, I guess, the first one or, what was it, Demon's Souls?
I think it was like Demon's Souls and then Dark Souls, and now Dark Souls 2 is coming out soon.
So. Yeah, I mean, it, from what I'm reading up on, it looks to be something I could get into. Oh, open world games are always a plus in my book.
Yeah, I was very surprised that they didn't put out a next-gen version of the game. Like, I know Capcom's making a Deep Down, which is basically a clone of Dark Souls, pretty much. But it just feels like, I don't know, when the PC game comes out, maybe they'll put something out for next-gen. I'm not against it coming out for PlayStation 3, though, because a lot of people grew up on Demon's Souls and Dark Souls for the PlayStation 3, if not PC, so it's going to be right up their alley in it. It's another title that, you know, if you can't move your way up to next-gen quite now, it's still something you can feast upon and have fun. Colin, baby, how do you feel about Titanfall, though?
Honestly, I don't know much about it. I don't do Xbox games, or Xbox, but I know a lot of people are going to get that. I've got a friend who played the beta and he loved it, and he's strictly PlayStation guy. So,
would you consider maybe picking up an Xbox One to play it?
I don't know yet. Just because I don't know much about it. But if I look into it some more, I could probably make a decision on it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that concludes the podcast for this week. Unless we have something else to add. Do we have anything else to add, Swirly?
I think that should do it.
Okay. Well, that concludes the podcast for today. Now we're going to end with our final thoughts and the outro. Now, Mr. Clown Baby, thank you again for spending your time this week to help us out with the podcast. We hope that you come back and help us out again.
Yeah, hopefully I'll know a little bit more about this stuff. But, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I will say this. Do you have any final thoughts on this week? Could be anything. It doesn't even have to begin.
Anything?
Anything.
Anything.
Man. Okay, I went to the Suns and the Thunder game last night, or the Thunder and the Suns game last night, and that sucked.
Yeah, so I saw your old Thunder lost.
Yeah, you did, and I'm not happy about it.
But did you get to be friends with Nick Collison?
I wore my Nick Collison jersey, my throwback Nick Collison jersey. I had a sign. Okay, I was the guy with the sign for the bench player. And I saw him in warm-ups, I'm waving the sign, and I'm like, be my best friend, Nick. And it didn't happen.
That's too bad.
We made eye contact, and he kind of like did a little wave. But no handshakes, were given, no pointers given on the comb over. It's a little disappointing, to be honest, but I'll forgive him.
Eh, it's your favorite player. It's your favorite player. You got to do what you got to do. At least you got to see him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't miss a chance when they're in town, so.
Very red. You got anything else?
No.
This is your time. You can say whatever you want.
I don't know. I've been playing Pokemon a lot lately, and I'm digging that.
What version are you playing?
One with the reindeer. X.
Okay.
Yeah, I call it X, blue, or the one with the reindeer.
Okay.
But it's, I'm loving it.
Now, previously you said you were familiar with Twitch. Are you familiar with the recent craze of Twitch Plays Pokemon?
Yes, and I had checked it out 3 separate days in a row, and they were still stuck in the goddamn Team Rocket hideout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing. I will watch that for 3 straight days.
Yeah, I definitely dig the idea that tens of thousands of people that, you know, normally won't say a word on Twitch come together within a community and play a video game, literally play a video game collectively, just simple button press and stuff. I mean, yeah, it was a ROM, but, like, it's like if everybody sat in line to play a game at Walmart and everybody had their finger on the A button or the B button all at the same time and other people work on the D-pad, it's just like that. It's ridiculous.
I even threw in a few commands there one day just for the fun of it.
Yeah. Hopefully you weren't the guy that was just hitting start the whole time.
that wasn't me.
That guy was a grade A ass.
Yeah, I definitely dig the idea that they implemented with democracy versus anarchy, which with democracy, there obviously had to be a vote as to what the commands were going to be entered. Like, I think a bigger collection of one type of command versus another one would be entered, and that one be entered first. Versus if it was on anarchy, it looks like a regular Twitch chat room where everybody's just basically screaming all at once.
Yeah. Well, every time I would check it out, they would take 3 steps, pause, and then check out, you know, their potion, and then unpause, take a step backwards. It was insane.
Yeah.
But I watched it go out.
It was also interesting that they took the commands that were through Twitch Plays Pokemon, and then they entered it into an altered game of Tetris to where, like, the blocks could be told to go up as well. So every command that was going through Twitch Plays Pokemon was also being entered into this Tetris game. So people were playing 2 games at the same time. They didn't know about the Tetris game, though. But again, it's the idea of community within Twitch taken to unbelievable heights. And that sounded very cool.
I still can't believe they finished the first game.
Yeah, they beat the Elite 4, Elite 8 gym leaders.
They did? They finally got there?
Yeah, they beat the last game bosses. Like, I don't think they went back into the post game to go and find stuff. Like, it was just beat the story and you're done.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them try to get Mewtwo and then just completely eat shit on that. Because that cave is difficult, no matter what.
Yeah.
And with 80,000 people trying to play it at once, multiply that.
It'd definitely be interesting to see. So, okay, cool. Swirlos, got any final thoughts?
My Galaxy S4 kind of shit the bed this week, and I was sad. Woke up one morning and I realized that, you know, why haven't I heard these messages come through? And it's because my exterior speaker is broken.
Nice. Did you drop it or something?
No. Just stopped working. So I have a replacement phone coming next week, so at least I'll get myself a nice brand new Galaxy S4 for $50. But that was kind of sad. With that Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked deal that I mentioned at the beginning, and with the price drop of the new gen versions of Ground Zeroes, I'm thinking about picking it up on day one now. $30 with the 20% off, plus the whole DLC that'll carry over to Phantom Pain. I'm kind of leaning towards it, and with not Thief being not all I thought it was going to be cracked up to be, I'm still wanting that stealth gameplay, so I think I'm going to give it a crack. So I've got Ground Zeroes and Infamous Second Son pre-ordered for the PS4, and I can't wait for the rest of this month.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my hands on the collector's edition of the Infamous.
You and your beanie.
Yeah. I want the beanie, and I want the pins.
Man, some of the gaming sites have had, there's this really rare Delson statue. There's only like maybe 200 made, and they were giving some out yesterday. And man, it is a great looking statue, and I was sad that I didn't win one. I wish we would have gotten a statue collector's edition.
Yeah, I saw some. They came with a miniature vest, and it fits over the game box.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you can't use it for anything.
Put on a miniature dog.
Yeah.
Could be a wiener vest.
The dog's wiener.
Yeah. Hopefully the dog.
No.
No, I'm swirling. Who knows?
No, not the dog.
Hey, Friday night, you got a party.
What are you gonna do? It's my formal vest. Leave me alone.
make sure to wear a beanie.
Exactly. If I had any final thoughts, it would be, again, Mr. Clown Baby, thank you for joining us. I know that you may or may not be, can consider us hardcore, you may not be super into video games like we are enough to make a podcast about it for free, but I do appreciate that you took the time out of your day to come and talk video games about video games with us, so I appreciate that.
Hardcore parkour.
Exactly. What else? I can say I'm looking forward to the next round of games that are coming out soon. I may not be able to afford them all, but whatever I can get my hands on, I'll try. Yeah, maybe Dark Souls 2. I just don't like the idea of aggravation, the game, causing me to break my controller so soon in my life again.
See, that was the interesting thing when I picked up Dark Souls, because, I can get pretty aggravated. I mean, I don't when I'm on stream, just because, I don't know, when other people are around, that doesn't seem to happen, but I can get pretty aggravated. When I played Dark Souls, it didn't feel like the game was being cheap. I knew what I was doing wrong. I knew what I had to do. So I don't know. It was interesting to see that.
I know I can play offline. That's fine. It's just that I know the difference between a game being horrifically cheap and enough to where it's workable, enough to play. Like, if you're playing a shooter like, let's say, Killzone, that game gets shitty sometimes when you play in the hardest difficulty. But if you're playing a game like, let's say, I Want to Be the Boshi, that game is dumb hard. Like, to the point where normal people wouldn't play that game after 2 seconds, because that game actively tries to kill you. But there's patterns in it, and if you learn those patterns and you get it right, you can beat the game. So,
I will say that it's nice. You know, even though there's quite a few games coming out this month, it is nice to know that the wallet will be able to take a break next month when all that I want to pick up is a couple indie games. So it'll be nice to give the wallet a little break in April.
So you said.
Yeah. I mean, there is Daylight and Child of Light and the Outlast DLC that I want, but, you know.
Lego the Hobbit.
Oh, shit. Son of a... No, I will be able to restrain myself because I still haven't played... I picked up Lego the Movie video game, still haven't played it, and I've still got Lego Lord of the Rings on my shelf untouched, and Lego City Undercover that I still need to beat, so I think I'll be able to hold off.
Yeah, all I have for my 3DS are the Lego games and Pokemon. And I bought the 3DS just for the new Pokemon, and then... You know, Toys R Us had a massive sale, and I have, I think, 7 or 8 of the Lego games.
Nice.
And it's great.
Cool. All right. So, well, without further ado, you guys got any shout-outs before we go?
Listeners, my Apex fellas, and you guys.
Cool. Mr. Clown Baby? First official podcast with us. Do you have any shout-outs?
Nick Collison.
Call me.
for being just an outstanding human being and an above-mediocre basketball player with a great over.
So you would say adequate at best?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does everything. He can do anything with basketball. He just chooses not to. It's like, you know, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook can get their play on. But, and pizza. That's it.
Shout out to pizza.
Yeah.
Let's see, shout outs. Shout outs to listeners. Thanks, Kip, for listening to this podcast, however disjointed it may be. I'll admit to that myself. Shout outs to gamers. Shout outs to folks over at VSN. Shout out to Foot Clan, shout out to Strike Team, shout out to, Pizza, Nick Collison, Apex Racing League, and, yeah, looking forward to, another episode of the VSN Arcade Radio Podcast next week. So, yeah, number 88 in the can. Thanks for listening. Check us out on, Twitter, by the way, at Capitalized VSN. And then lowercase gaming, put those all together, no spaces. Check us out on there on Twitter. We're going to put links on Podomatic link as well as the forum thread over at virtualsportsnetwork.com where you can find our stuff for iTunes as well. So you'll be able to download whenever you want. Subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us. Hopefully 5 stars. Leave a comment. Do what we gotta do. Other than that, thanks for listening. Say goodbye, everybody.
Smooches.
Bye.
Peace.